We're holding in Yerushalmi Brachos, top of page K, beginning of Hayakurta Perachani. The Mishnah there at the beginning of the Perach starts talks about, among other things, the dinim of when you're allowed to interrupt in the middle of Shema to greet somebody or to answer somebody, depending if they have COVID, if they have Euro, or whatever. So that leads the Yerushalmi into a bit of a discussion about the concept of that a Talmud should be greeting his Rebbe and the concept of Toch Kedidibur. So now the Gemara mentions in this connection, Rabbi Yochanan have a mistimich al Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi. Rabbi Yochanan was mistimich on Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi. Now Akosef translates mistimich as he was staying by, he was lodging, he was staying as a guest by Rabbi Yaakov. Eitz Yosef brings from the Mepharshim on the Yerushalmi that it may mean that he was leaning on him. We find from other Gemaras that Rabbi Yochanan was very heavy set. And also eventually he was very old. He lived to be quite old. He was Rosh Hashiva for 60 or 80 years, depending on different year size. So therefore he partially may have had to lean on somebody. Anyway, Behavar Rabbi Lozer Chomile, Rabbi Lozer, when he saw Rabbi Yochanan, he would hide from Rabbi Yochanan's presence. Instead of going over and saying Shalom Aleichem, he would hide. Omar, so one time Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, Ha tautin mili ovid bihodin bavloi. There are two things that this Bavli, Rabbi Lozer was originally from Bavel and moved to Eretz Yisrael. There are two things that this guy from Bavel does that I don't appreciate. Chodav l'shol b'shloimi. Number one, he never greets me. He never says Shalom Aleich. He never says Shalom Aleich Alecha Rabbi Yomori or something like that to me. So maybe is he like doing it out of gaiva or something? Like maybe he's too big to be greeting me. And number two, that he never says over explanations of Torah or statements in Torah in my name. Omalei, so Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi answers him as far as the first one. Kach inu nagin gabeha, and this is the minhag that they have there in Babel. Ze'era le'shol b'shlama derabba. The lesser person does not initiate the greeting to the greater one. So if you, Rabbi Yochanan, were to greet him, then he would respond, of course, but he's not going to initiate the greeting, fakef, out of respect. The Inun Mekayimim, there in Babel, they fulfill the expression in the Pasuk that Eev says about the good old days before he had all those troubles, Ra'uni Na'orim Nechbo V'gomer, that the young people, the young men would see me and they would hide for the same reason. In other words, they felt like they're not even worthy of going and approaching him. And greeting him, they would wait for the only way would be if he greets them first. So therefore, don't take it personally. It's just the minhag where he comes from. As far as the other one, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi goes on to explain to him that the gist of it is, since Rabbi Lozer learned most of his Torah from you, anytime he says over something, everybody knows it comes from you. Okay, if it's from somebody else, he'll say so, but he has no reason to say it over in your name. And there's a Bavli actually in Yevamos, which tells the story also with some detail over there that Rabbi Yochanan is very upset about that. And a couple of the Chachamim go and try to explain to Rabbi Yochanan, and their explanation just makes things worse, until Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi comes and explains. He brings a pasuk in connection with Yeshua, where it says that Yeshua did exactly everything as Moshe told him. So Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says in the Gemara over there, so what do you think? Every time Yeshua said over Halacha, he said, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught me? Of course not. Where else does Yeshua know his whole Torah from? Not from Moshe. The same way it's with Rabbi Lozer and you, and Rabbi Yochanan was appeased by that. So then the Gemara goes on to discuss, both in the Bavli and Yevamos, and the Yerushalmi over here, the point that when you say something in the name of a Talmid Chacham, Sifsos of Dovus Bakever, that his lips move in the grave. So that leads the Gemara, Me'inyan Le'inyan, from one thing to another, talking about David HaMelech, whose lips still move in the grave every time we say his Torah, and every time we say his Tillim. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, speaking of David passing away, by way of introduction, you should know, Yerushalmi says, "Ein dosh ein belet sonim kedoshah shel David." You should know there's no generation that has mockers like the people of David's times. In other words, in every generation you're always going to have people who don't take things of kedoshah seriously and make a big joke out of it. You should know the ultimate ones in that degree were in David's times. Mahayu paritzia dorosin, what would the lawless people of that time do, the people who did not like David and wanted to make fun of him? They would go over to David's windows, and they would call out, David, when's the Beis HaMikdash going to be built? When are we going to have the chance to go to the house of Hashem? Now, they knew good and well that there was a nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built by David, that David is going to have to pass away, and his son Shlomo is going to do it. So, in effect, they're saying, David, can't you just die already so we can... So they're claiming it's in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, but it's Letzonos, they're really doing it in order to have a sort of, so to speak, heterodic way of wishing for his death. So David says, it's true, these people are trying to anger me. They're trying to, in effect, say, in a not very veiled way, we wish you were dead. Yavoy alai, they should come on me, which is a lashon of shvua, shani sameach v'libi. That as a matter of fact, I am happy in my heart. Yavoy alai is a lashon of shvua that you find in many places in Yerushalmi and Midrashim. The full expression would be, yavoy alai, such and such should come on me if such and such is not true. I'll do it like you have, for example, in Psukim, where you have a Lashon im lois such and such, and then you say the Shvua. It's an elliptical way of saying it. Anyway, so I swear, Shani Sameach the Libi, that I'm happy in my heart when I see them talking this way, as the Pasuk says, Samachti ba'umim libeis Hashem Nelech. I'm happy when they tell me, let's go to the house of Hashem. So even though these guys are saying it in a chutzpah way, let's already go to the house of Hashem, drop dead already, nevertheless, I'm happy about it. Akosif brings, of course, you have a lesson from this, that you have a person should always be looking forward to what's going to be good for the klal, even if for himself it's not so good. For David himself, the building of the Beis HaMikdash is literally going to have to be over his dead body. Nevertheless, he's still happy for that, and Abi the Beis HaMikdash should be built. And he's happy that Jews are talking about that, even if they're talking like that sarcastically. Then the Gemara goes on to talk about, okay, so then a couple of Mishnayos later, at the end of the second parak, you have a Mishnah over there you have a couple of Mishnayos over there that mention unusual things that Rabbi Gamliel did. One of them being that when he got married, the night of his wedding, he said Krishna, even though Chosin is technically Potter. And then another one, a couple of Mishnayos later, it says when his slave Tavi died, then he accepted Nichum Avevim for him. So why? He's only a slave. Usually you don't do that. He says Kosher Hoy. So that leads the Gemara into a bit of discussion about Nichum Avevim and about his Hespedim that they do for Mason. So the Gemara brings, Kad Domach Rabbun Barchia, when Rabbun Barchia passed away, Domach literally means he fell asleep. It's a nice way, it's a Yerushalmi style way of saying that he was Nifter. Rabbun Barchia, by the way, Bun is one of those Yerushalmi shortenings. The Yerushalmi a lot of times shortens names. We had yesterday, for example, Ba for Abba. You have a lot of places in the Yerushalmi, Lozer for Elozer, and so forth. Bun is short for the name that you find a lot of times in the Babli of. So in the Gemara, in the Babli, he's occasionally quoted as Rab Ovin Barchi. Anyway, when he passed away, Ol Legabei Rab Zera went to him, to the Levaya, but after Eloi, and he said the following Hester, quoting a pasuk from Kehelas, Mesuka Shnasa Oved B'Gomer, the sleep of the laborer is sweet. The whole pasuk goes, Mesuka Shnasa Oved, the sleep of the laborer is sweet. Im ma'atim harbe yochel, whether he eats a little bit or a lot, or another way of parsing the pasuk is whether he gets a little or a lot, either way he'll eat. Vasavol asher and nechlelishin, whereas this fullness of the rich person doesn't allow him to sleep. So the point is, the pasuk is starting by mentioning that the sleep of the laborer is sweet, but then it continues with him eating. Im ma'atim harbe yochel. So yishan and ksivkan, the pasuk doesn't say whether he sleeps a lot or a little. Ela im ma'atim harbe yochel. Rather, the expression in the pasuk is whether a lot or a little he eats, which again can mean whether he eats a little or a lot, or it can mean whether he sleeps a lot or a little. Either way, he eats the same amount, which is how the Zeira is taken. He says, what was Rabbun Rav Chiya like in his life? As the Gemara is going to go on to say, he lived to be only 28 years old. So what can we compare him to? A king, hired a lot of workers. There was one particular worker. This worker was doing excellent work. He was much more capable in his work than anybody else. So he was doing the work a lot faster and a lot better than anybody else. Ma osam melech. So what does the king do in order to fill up his time? The guy can accomplish in a short amount of time what everybody else takes the whole day. So what did the king do? Nafloi. So he took him. They would take long and short walks together. And then, so the guy does his 1 hour or whatever of work and does a tremendous amount. And then the rest of the day he has free, so the king takes him around for walks. that evening, bo osim poilim b'toscharim, all the workers come to get their wages, v'noslai schari mohem misholim, and the king gives this worker the same full wages as everybody else. So the other workers are complaining. We worked the whole day. This guy worked for only 2 hours. And still he gave him the same wage as the rest of us. So the king tells them, this guy worked hard and accomplished in 2 hours more than you guys worked and accomplished an entire day. Kaf, the same thing, finishes off Rav Ze'era, his hesped, Yoga Rabun Batorah L'Esra Mishmona Shana, Rabun labored hard, and worked and toiled hard in the study of Torah, Mashen L'Esra Mishmona Shana, in 28 years, Masha in Talmud Vosik Yochel Lerma L'Meir Shana, the amount that even a diligent Talmud wouldn't be able to learn in 100 years. So he's like that laborer who's so expert at his work that he does it much faster and that he puts in the same amount of effort in a much shorter amount of time. They say a vort on this, but the pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Miketz, by Himiketz Shnasayim Yomim. So the idea is sometimes you have a person where at the end of Shnasayim, at the end of their years of life, all they have is Yomim, all they have is a few days when they accomplish, and vice versa, you can have somebody who it's the other way around, that they lived only a short time, but it's all packed full. The Gemara then goes on to talk about the end of the Perek over there. After the Hespedim, it talks about after the Hespedim, it ends up talking about Reb Ze'era, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So then he was a story in that connection. Reb Ze'era kad solik lahofa. Reb Ze'era, and this is Reb Ze'era from the Bavli, when he moved to here to Eretz Yisrael, we know from the Gemara in Bavli Metzia that he lived a good part of his life in Bavel, and then eventually left Bavel and came to Eretz Yisrael. It's this famous thing that he fasted 40 or 100 fasts to forget the style of learning of the Bavli, so he could pick up the Yerushalmi, etc. Anyway, so when he came to here to Eretz Yisrael, akiz dam. One time he needed to have bloodletting done. Also, boy Mizbin chod a liter of kufri in Tabitha. Afterwards, he went to buy a liter, which is about a pound, of meat from the butcher, because after you let blood, you have to have good food to eat. So he goes to the butcher to buy a pound of meat. Omalei b'kama hodin litarta. So he asks the butcher, how much is this liter of meat? Omalei. So the guy answers him, b'chamishin money v'chad kursam. It costs 50 money plus one blow. So essentially, on the face of it, the butcher was Sam trying to play a practical joke on Reb Ze'era. But we'll go through the story and then we'll talk about a couple of possibilities in it. But on the surface, it's just that he's trying to play a practical joke. Omalei, so Reb Ze'era says, Sabloch Shitin, take for yourself 60. I'll pay you 60 instead of 50. But don't give me the blow. Don't require me to have to accept the blow as well. And the guy doesn't want to accept it. Sabloch Shabin, you offer 70, like Kabul Aloy. Sabloch Tmanin, take 80, like Kabul. Sabloch Tishin, ad moti Meya, until he got to 100 mana. So it's an enormous amount of money to spend on 1 liter of meat. Finally, Reb Ze'era gives in and says, Omalei, Ovid Kimin Hagach, fine, do as your minig. If that's your minig over here, that in order for a person to buy meat, you have to give him a zet, then fine, I guess I have no choice. Berum shanoches the base vada. That evening, Reb Ze'era went to the base medrash. Omalei manabonim. He asked the chacham over there, "Ma bish min hagad de'ocha? De'ocha? What kind of bad minag is this that you have in this place? Deloy ocha by nash liter de kuper that a person can't eat, that a person can't even eat a liter of meat. Ad mochalei had person unless they give him a blow. What kind of weird minhagim do you have in this place? Amrin leis. They asked him, "Mahu dein? Why? What happened?" Omalei plan tamfa, so he tells them, Ploini the butcher, I went to him and this is what happened. Which, as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines, it's not even that he meant to say Lashon Hara about the guy. As the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines, he truly thought that is the local minhag. So Shochun Boi Maisei, so they sent a messenger to summon the butcher to Beis Din for insulting a Talmid Chacham. But Ashkechun Aroine Nafgan, when the messengers went, they found that his Oren was being taken out, the butcher had died, and now they're taking him to his Levi. Amrin Lay, so they said to Rav Zeira, Rebbe, call Hochin, Rebbe Ad Kedekach, you were so angry at the guy that you caused his death. On the line, so he answers them, the Yaisi Alai, may they come on me, which is like the Yovei Alai that we had before, Loshen of Shur, the Loi Kasi Savoy, I wasn't angry at him, Masperas to Minhag the Kane. I truly thought that the Minhag, the local Minhag, is like that. I didn't realize that that's why I was asking you why this is the Minhag over here. I didn't realize that this guy is stamping with songs. Now that's the straightforward rendering of the story. The Hakosev, the compiler of Ein Yaakov, seems to have had a different girsa of the story, where the middle part, where the middle part is missing, and it goes into the next piece of the here that the Gemara is going to mention about how serious Litzonus is. So in his version, when they called for the butcher, it's the butcher that says that I wasn't that he apparently thought the minhag is over here to make jokes. And then Hakosev has a long explanation. Why would the butcher think Reb Zeira is making a joke? And he says he discusses. I mean, maybe one possibility is that. So he says it's the butcher saying. So it's not Reb Zeira saying Chas v'Shalom, I wasn't angry at the guy. It's the butcher saying I thought. I told him 50 money and one blow, but I figured that I figured that he's making a joke, so kind of I'll make a joke back at him. So in other words, he says that maybe listen, Rav Zeira is walking into the butcher shop and asking how much does this liter of meat cost. That's not the usual way. When you go into a butcher shop, you say, I'd like to buy X many dollars or X many dinarim worth of meat. What are you asking for it in terms of how much does this pound of meat cost? So therefore, he says that based on the girsa that he had in front of him, that maybe when Reb Zeira walks into the store, the butcher, and asks how much is this liter of meat, the butcher thought that Reb Zeira is the one making the joke. So therefore, like, he answers him back in his own coin, like he answers him in an exaggerated way. After all, when you think about it, 50 mana for 1 pound of meat is an exaggerated amount anyhow, and especially if you're going to mention the blow as well. And then he sees that Reb Zeira is still continuing to bid up the price. So ultimately he's saying, I was trying to warn Reb Zeira, don't be litzonistic, but not realizing, of course, that Reb Zeira is not saying it as a joke, that he sincerely, meant it. Anyway, that seems to be based on a girsa that's different than what we have in front of us. The girsa that we have in front of us is more straightforward, that now, having mentioned that this guy tried Litzonus at Reb Zeira's expense, then the result was that he passed away as a result of it. And that brings the Gemara now into the discussion about the severity of Litzonus. So the Gemara says, see, you have a pasuk that goes, "Va'ata al titzlitzotzu." Now the Navi says to the people, "Do not do litzonus, pen yechaz kumaisreichem, because otherwise your bonds that you're tied up in will become stronger." And maisreichem also meloshim yisurim. So the Pinchas, Rav Yirmiyah, b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, so the Pinchas says in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, in the Yerushalmi, in the Babli, you would always have Omar, Reb, whoever, you'd always have an Omar between one and the next. But in the Yerushalmi, many times it leaves off some of the Omars. So Rav Pinchas says in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, which in turn is b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, in the name of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Kosha, he had Litzonus, you should realize how severe Litzonus is, Shetchilosi Yisurin v'soifan Kloy. It begins with Yisurin, the punishment for it begins with Yisurim and ends with destruction, as happened to this butcher, for example. Trilosi Yisurim, Dichtiva Ata Al Tzatzu, Pen Yechaz Kum Moisreichem, because then your Moisreichem, which is Meloshim Yisurim, will become stronger. So that's the first consequence of Litzonus. The Soifan Kloya, and then the end of it is destruction, Kidichtiv, as that same pasuk finishes off. The Navi continues, because complete destruction, and it's definitive, Shamaiti is what I've heard, Me'es Hashem Tzvakas from Hashem, that this is going to happen. So it starts with Moisreichem and ends up with Kola. The Gemara's understanding over here that Kola means complete destruction. So those are the consequences for Litzonus, and then the Gemara goes on to discuss a little more about the consequences of it. At the end of the Yerushalmi section over here, they have a section called Chidushi Ga'onim al Yerushalmi. Usually these Chidushi Ga'onim in most of the rest of Ein Yaakov are printed in the margins and they span many pages. Here he has a discussion of the story. He says that again, a little bit similar to the way that Akosef says, it can't just be that Rav Ze'era is going into the butcher shop and wanting to buy a whole liter of meat. That's more than a person should be eating anyhow, especially fat meat like that that costs that much. So he gives a whole symbolic explanation of it that he wants to reach high ruchniistical levels, and they tell him the first thing is, the prerequisite is that you have to be at least 50 years old, and that you have to have undergone Yisurim, and Rav Ze'era says, I don't want to have to undergo the Yisurim, I'd rather, I'll have to wait until I'm 60 to reach those Sirdas HaTorah, but at least let it be without the blows, and they tell him no, and so on and so forth. So all symbolically like that. In Perek Kamishi, the fifth Perek of Brachos, then the Mishnah starts talking about the Einim and the Spal Elamitech Kovid Rosh. And so the Bavli brings, now the Yerushalmi brings also about more discussion about that. Tony, we learn in a Braisa, Lo Yamad Odom Yispal Elamitech Sicha, a person should not stand up to Davin Shemana Esrei, not after Stam talking, Elamitech Schoit, or from laughter, Velomitech kalus roish, or lightheadedness, a lack of seriousness. Velomitech dvonim betelim, or from empty talk. Elamitech dover shal Torah. Rather, a person should be standing to daven after a word of Torah. Shekein matzino b'neviim harishonim, as we find that the uliu neviim, meaning we usually use the word neviim rishonim to mean Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim. Doesn't mean that over here. It just means the neviim of olden times. The neviim, as long as there was nevuah, they used to show you chos minis divrayim v'divrei shevach v'divrei nechamas. They would finish off their words. They would finish off their svarim of nevuah with words of praise to Hashem or words of comfort to the Jewish people. So the same way as we see that they took care to do that, the same way you want to have that the last thing you're doing before you get up to Davening Shemana Esrei should be something appropriate, a word of Torah. Now, the fact is there are actually four Sfarim of Tanakh that seem to end on a negative note. The Gemara is going to go through over here three of them. The Gemara is going to go through only two of them, actually. You have the four of them. They have a simon that's printed at the end of some nafs. Yud, Tof, Kuf. The Yud is Yeshaya, so we're going to talk about it over here. The Tof is Trey, also the last pasuk in Malachi. For some reason, the Gemara is not addressing it over here. The Kuf, the first Kuf stands for Kinois, which is eight, actually the first one stands for Kehelas. And the second Kuf stands for Kinos, which is Eicha. So here the Gemara is going to deal only with two of them. It's going to deal with only two of them, and then it's going to mention also something about Yumiyo. As far as the other two, so one point is, Mefoshim and Yerushalmi explained, Pnei Moshe and Yerushalmi explained, that the fact is, with each of these Sforim, when we read them publicly, we read the next to last Pasuk over again. We're most familiar with it. By Eicha, we do that. We read the Pasuk Hashivenu, by the Shabbat Torah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, which is the last chapter of Yeshaya. We repeat over the Hoyim Yidachodesh B'chodeshoy. So therefore, the Gemara is not so bothered by them, but still, that might explain why the Gemara doesn't bother mentioning the other two. Behelas and Treyos, because we do the same kind of thing with them, or we finish off with something else. But anyway, Amar Rav Elazar chutz mi Yumiyahu, except for Yumiyahu shechosem medirat hechafas. He finishes the nevuah with a rebuke. The last positive, the Sefer Yumiyah consists, eventually when the Goyim divided up into chapters, it consists of 52 chapters. The 52nd chapter is the Perek Nun Beis is a recap of the events before the Churban. Basically, it belongs more to Sefer Malachim, and in fact, it is more or less a restatement of what it says in Sefer Malachim with a few extra details. But before that, you have the end of Perek Nun Aleph, ends Ad Hena Divri Yumiyahu. This is as far as Yumiyahu said, meaning, in other words, that the next Perek Nun Bey is apparently must have been added by the Anshek Nesach Gola or something. Anyway, but the end of Perek Nun Aleph, the whole Perek Nun and Nun Aleph is a long nevuah about Babel, and then Perek Nun Aleph finishes Kocha Tishka Babel. This is how Babel will sink. The pasuk describes over there, he sends somebody named Tsuroya with his whole nevuah written on parchment, and he tells him, tie it to a stone, throw it into the Pras River, and say, just like that, and say, this, the way the stone and this nevuah are sinking, so Bava will sink and never rise again. And that's, and then it finishes, Adahena Divri Yemiyahu. So Yemiyahu, unlike all the other Nevi'im, ends on a negative note. On the other hand, but Rabbi Yechanan says to Rabbi Elazar, that's not a negative point. After all, the fact is, Yemiyahu also ended with Divrei Nechomis, but Omar, because he says, Kochatishka Bavel, and he says, thus Bavel shall sink. In other words, the fact that he's predicting a disaster for Bavel, which destroyed the Beis Mikdash, adrabah, that's a good thing. It's a nechama for the Jewish people. Yemiyahu, his whole career, he's giving nevuahs about how the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed. You would think maybe he'd finish off with something about the Churban. In fact, the Gemara in the Bavli and Baba Basra, in fact, calls Yemiyahu Kulei Churbana. Most of the Sefer is about the Churban. So you would think maybe he finished with that. No, Tamad Lema, Ad Hena, Divri Yemiyahu, the pasuk finishes off, till here, the words of Yemiyahu, he finishes off, Makolas Shomach Rivav Chosam, he finishes off with the destruction of those who, with the fall of those who destroyed the Beis Mikdash, Loi Chosam, Divri Techofas. He did not end with rebuke to the Jewish people, rather he ended on, it may seem on the surface like a negative note, but it's really a positive thing that Bava, which destroyed the Beis Mikdash, is themselves going to sink and fall and never be rebuilt. We learned actually in the Bavli, in Bracha, so a few weeks back, we had that when you see the ruins of Bava, you have to make a special Bracha over it, and Maharsha says, La'asid Lava, when we see the ruins of Rome, we'll do the same thing. So in that case, it is considered Divrei Nechamos. Okay. The Gemara asks, what about the last pasuk of Yeshaya? The pasuk finishes off that you're going to go out and see the dead bodies of the people at Hoshimdi who rebelled against me. And the pasuk finishes off, there'll be an abhorrence, there'll be a disgusting thing to everybody, to every flesh, to all flesh, to everybody who sees them. So the answer is, that's talking about, it's not talking about Jewish Yeshayim. It's talking about the dead bodies of the armies of Gog and Magog. So therefore, Adrabe, it is, again, it's a nechama for the Jewish people, that those who tormented them and those who fought against them are going to be judged and punished eternally. So it's like the end of Yirmiyah in that sense. The fact is, again, we do repeat, the next to last pasuk, but still, even if you didn't, you still have that v'hoyu deroi mechol basu in and of itself is actually a positive thing. Okay, what about v'aksiv ki mois mastanu? What about at the end of Eicha? The last pasuk of Eicha is ki mois mastanu. If you've rejected us, the pasuk finishes katsafka alena on ma'od, you've been very angry at us. So what about over that? What about there? It's not ending on a happy note. The answer is hashivenu tachas ki mois mastanu. Because you have the word, you have hashivenu instead of ki mois mastanu. Which there are two different ways of explaining that. One is that, again, we repeat it, so therefore it's not considered that Eichab ends on those words, Katsafta Leinan Ma'od. Really, it ends with Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Ben Ashova, because we repeat it. The other way that the Foshim on the Yerushalmi understand the Yerushalmi's answer is that it means the two psukim go together. Why should it be Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Ben Ashova? Why are we pleading with you, Hashem, to return us, and we should return? Because you've been so angry and rejected us, therefore please make it up for us with Hashiveinu. So therefore, in that sense, Ki Mois Mastanu is not itself a negative thing. It's a reason that we're asking Hashem to have Rachmanos on us and a Hashiveinu. So again, the Gemara doesn't deal with the other two. At least with Kehelis, you can say the same kind of thing, because with Kehelis, you have... where the next to last pasuk is Soif Yavra Akom Mishma, that we say before benching, and then the next pasuk is Ki Eskol Maser for the King Yavri Mishpat Akol Ne'elam Im Tov V'im Ra, everything Hashem is going to judge a person for, whether good or bad. So it ends off with the word Ra. Again, when they lay Tehillos in public, and in Nusach Ashkenaz Tehillos, where they do, then they say the next to last pasuk, Soif Yavra again. But there's also the point that those two psukim are also a continuation. Why is the King Because Hashem is judging for everything. So therefore, it's not really ending on a bad note in that sense. And again, the Gemara is not really dealing with the, what about the last one by Treyoser? We have the line over there in Malachi, Kenover, Rikesios, or it's Cherem. Could be the same kind of thing. I mean, you have up until there, it's Adina, Onechi, Shalech, Lachem, Ese, Liyohan, Melvi. So it could be the same kind of thing. I'm sending Aliyo. Why? Because this way there won't have to be the Rikesios, or it's Cherem. Again, the fact is, when we lane in this Bab Torah of Shabbos and Gadol, we do repeat the next to last pas of Hina, Onechi, Shalech, Lachem. The Gemara continues, we see also how important it is to end with a word of Torah, that we see that when Eliyahu left Elisha, when he was taken up to Shemayim, in the chariot and then horses of fire over there, then they were speaking words of Torah before that. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says they were walking and talking. And the point is, HaKosef says, why does it need to tell us that they were talking? What else would they have been doing? So therefore the Gemara is going to darshan that the word vidaber is hinting what topic they were talking about. Now it's interesting, actually, the Bavli and Sota seems to say differently. The Bavli and Sota learns that in fact they may not have been talking Divrei Torah, they may have been talking something on their level would be Dvarim B'Kalim, and because of that they would have deserved to be burned, because of that the fiery chariot came and took Eliyahu away. But our Gemara over here, the Yerushalmi, is evidently understanding that they were talking Divrei Torah. That the word vidaber refers to some kind of divrei Torah. So what were they learning? Reb Achva, Reb Zeira, Amar, but Krishma hayuasukin. They were talking. They were discussing about Krishma. Heichmada atomar, as it says in the pasuk, vidibarta bam. So we see that the word daber is associated with Krishma. Reb Yudim and Pazi, Amar, but Briyat Olam hayuasukin. They were talking about the creation of the world. As the pasuk says, Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu. So again, we see the word Dvar in connection with Bria Sol. Rabbi Yudan Breder of Ivuam, Rabbi Nechomas Yerushalayim, Hoyu Asukin. They were talking about the Nechoma of Yerushalayim, about the Gula Amitis Hashleim. Kamad Atoma, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. As the pasuk says, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. But Rabbanan Amri, Rabbi Merkava, Hoyu Asukin. The Rabbanan say they were talking about Meis Merkava, Heich Madat Omer. Because after all, the pasuk continues, Behinu Rechavesh, Suseish, we're going with a fiery chariot and fiery horses came and took Eliyahu away. So the implication really, they were talking about the Merkava, and therefore the Merkava came to pick Eliyahu up. Maybe Balabatish, we could say, how to reconcile it with the Bavli and Sota. You know, there's a Gemara in Megillah that mentions that when it comes to Purim, the Koyanim, even Talmud Chachamim, it says, have to be Mevatel in the Talmud Torah to come here Mikra Megillah. So anyway, Megillah itself is part of the Torah. So they say the explanation that it means if you're learning on a higher level, you still have to be Mevatel from that higher level of learning to go hear the Megillah because the Mitzvah of Purim. So maybe the same kind of thing. These topics, as great as they are, maybe relative to their level, is considered a degree of Bittul Torah. Further on, the Gemara talks about, again, the importance of the frame of mind that a person has to be in when he goes to Daven. So in that connection, the Gemara brings Rav Chizkiya, Rav Yaakov, Omer, Rav Acha. Rav Chizkiya says in the name of Rav Yaakov, in the name of Rav Acha, and also Rav Yasa, b'shem Rav Yechanan, and Rav Yasa also says the same thing in the name of Rav Yechanan, lo'olam al yehei ha-posik hazeh zoz mitoich picha. The following posik should never leave your mouth. You should always be saying this posik in Davin. Hashem tzvok is imanu, Hashem of armies is with, of hosts is with us. Misgav lanu, elekei Yaakov Sela, the God of Yaakov is our stronghold forever. That's a very important posik to say in Davin, and in fact, we say it, of course, many places in Davin. Rabbi Yossi Beirab Ovin, Rabbi Abahu B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yossi Beirab Ovin says in the name of Rabbi Abahu, says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan Omar, V'chavraya, he says that the other Chachamim said, Hashem Tzvokas Asher Anu B'Kerach Bach, that that's the important pasuk that you should always be saying. Or V'chavraya can mean an accompanying pasuk. To say with that is that as well. Rabbi Chizki B'Shem Rabbi Abahu says another one, not a pasuk, but a tefillah. May it be your will, Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers, that you should save us from the chutzpedika times, which means, Eitz Yosef says, chutzpedika mean that are unusually bad, the harsh ones, which are not as bad as a chatzufos, but they're still bad enough, haro'os, and the bad ones, which are even less bad, but they're still no good, hayotzis, that come out, or even hayotzis, meaning, in other words, they're only like a little unusual, Amistragis, love la olam, that stir themselves up to come in the world, which means even, for example, when it's very cold or very hot or whatever, so we daven to Hashem to save us from all of those kinds of things, everything from the harshest kind of things, like hatsufas, all the way down to the minor changes of weather that make people sick, so that Hashem should save us from all of those. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chof Gimel Shabbat. One of the things that's promised by the Gola Amitis Vashlema through Mashiach Tikenu is regarding how the nations of the world are going to act. We have the passage says, "Chitzu chavaseim leitim." They'll cut up their swords into plow blades. "Bachanisei seim mazmeres." And they'll cut up their spears into knives, machetes for pruning. "Lo yisav goyo goycherev." No nation will lift up a sword against the other nation. "Lo yuvadur mochama." They won't learn war anymore. And how is this going to be accomplished? Through Melech HaMashiach himself, as the pasuk says in the beginning of that same pasuk, "V'shapach bein agoyim," he'll judge between the nations, "V'chiach la'amim rabim," and he'll rebuke and tell off the many nations for what they're doing wrong. So who is that shofet? The radach explains on the pasuk. The shofet is the Melech HaMashiach, who's going to be the master of all the nations. He will give them teichacha. He'll tell anybody who's acting wrongly that you better straighten out what you're doing. Because of that, there won't be wars between one nation and another, because they'll make peace between them, so they won't need weapons, and therefore they'll cut them up and make them into farm tools. So that's one of the things that Mashiach is going to accomplish. Continuing on halachas of Ikar and Tuffel. So now, if you have two things that are cooked together, if each one is by itself, then you make a bracha on each one. You make the appropriate bracha on each one. The altogether, though, holds differently, that if they're mixed, then even if they're not crushed together, then you'd still go according to the road. If they got crushed, if they got mashed and crushed together, then you go according to the road. The altogether says that in general, even if they're not mashed, you still go according to the road. So whatever is the road is considered the ikkar. You make the bracha on it, and the other one is potter. One example of that, and not even cooked together, is, for example, cereal and milk. You make bracha on the cereal and you pat the milk. If the tuffel is one of the chamishas minei dargan, then it becomes the ikkar, as we had earlier, that you have, for example, with pies and other things like that, where they have grain, they have flour in them, where the flour is almost always considered the ikkar, unless it's like just in order to give it a thicker consistency or something. Okay. Also, a din, if you have food that you put milk or soup into it, you're going to eat them together. If you're mainly meaning for the meal, for the food, so that would be more like cereal, then you just make a bracha on it in the milk or the soup is tougher. If you mainly mean for the soup or the milk, then you would say on them and the food would be tougher. If you have them, the kavana for both of them and they're different brachas, then you make a bracha on the food, eat a little bit first, then say shakol on the soup or on the milk. There you don't go according to the roi because they weren't cooked together. Even if the food is grain, it's not considered ikkar regarding that. If it's just blended together with something else.